Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Well, I think what we got to do is we got to bring everybody together. I'd also say that what Vice President Harris said yesterday, that or day before yesterday, that you know, if you have a different skin color, you're going to get relief
faster. That's not what the Vice President so said.
It is our lowest income communities and our communities of color that are most impacted by these extreme conditions and impacted by issues that are not of their own making.
And so women, absolutely.
And so we have to address this in a way that is about giving resources based on equity, understanding that we fight for equality, but we also need to fight for equity, understanding not everyone starts out at the same place.
Are you?
I am so ready, and I am so happy that Hurricane Ian has moved on down the road. It is great to be here with you. 704-570-1110 is our phone number. It is great to be with you. Big news. We have our first episode of this new season of Devious Motives dropping over there at the website at WBT, and of course, where you get your podcasts. It's just dropped in the last few moments. We're going to do about 22 of these episodes between now and Election Day. Essentially, it's going to give you the tour, the ebbs and flows of all of this good stuff. And I encourage you to check it out, and certainly feel free to share your feedback with me. Would love to hear from you. BrettWaterbill.com. If you want to go over to the website, you can send me comments, thoughts, takes, all that good stuff, as well as the stuff that you're seeing over on the Facebook page and the Twitter. It's interesting to see how this is all going to play out, because over the weekend, and you knew this was going to be a huge thing from Vice President Harris when she comes out and says that the aid that's going to be distributed is going to go out according to equity. Now, I'll take her at that word, right? Because this is not her first sales pitch for equity issues. As she has talked about equity extensively, it's really been her portfolio. I know you think it's the border. I know you think it's our ally in North Korea. I know you think it's all that sort of stuff. But the reality is, her portfolio from the moment she was picked to be vice president was to handle the equity issues. You almost never hear Joe Biden talk about equity. He almost never talks about equity. They'll speak about it in generalizations. But when it comes to identity politics, she's the czar for identity politics inside the White House. President Biden is lucky enough to get teacup to lips each and every morning when he gets up and heads into the Oval Office with his silly slippers and bathrobe. But here's the thing about what we're looking at here. They are now retreating, and I've got a large amount of commentary about this over at this new Devious Motives episode, season three, episode one, talking about how now the Biden administration, that would be Joe Biden and Vice President Harris, how they're now retreating on the whole thing with the student loan forgiveness package. They're realizing they cannot deliver what they wanted to deliver because they're going to be sued by people who are standing up and saying, wait a minute, how are you determining who's going to get your aid forgiven? This thing didn't pass as a bill. This is not a part of the law. This is you freelancing. And even the New York Post over the weekend wrote, Biden's rollback of student loan forgiveness plan pulls up the curtain on his Potemkin White House. So this stuff was not rolled out according to equity. And if it is rolled out according to equity, we don't know what those rules are because they've just been made up by the executive branch. Now, pause that right there. You heard the vice president talk about getting hurricane aid out to people based on equity. Okay, I believe that was her intention. And I believe it was the intention of the Biden White House to roll out this aid based on equity. Here's the problem. How are you going to prioritize repair jobs? Here's what I mean. You get money, and now you've got a whole bunch of people moving into Florida because you've seen it on the news. You saw it on the Fox News channel over the weekend, where you've got Venezuelans getting in vans because they can't find work in Eric Adams' New York City, and they want to head down to South Florida for $15 an hour to do cleanups. And they're talking about this. They're bragging about this. They're saying, listen, we get $15 an hour. We get overtime. We get $15 a day for food. That ain't going to go very far, but okay. And we're getting paid to go down to Florida to do the cleanups. Are they going to work for contractors that are going to get out there and determine the jobs based on equity? See, this is where the modeling on equity starts to fall apart at the seams. Because government can mandate equity, equal opportunity, on the other side, mandatory equal outcome. But when you get contractors coming in that are going to rebuild homes, when you get contractors coming in that are going to tell you they'll put a new roof on your building, that they're going to fix whatever was destroyed on your property, they're going to haul away all the junk, bring back all the good stuff, and it's going to be great. How are contractors going to prioritize the jobs? Anybody know? Do, re, mi. Do, money. That's how they're going to figure it out. And you're going to have $3,500 in Biden bucks, and somebody else is going to have $1.3 million to get this place built back better once again so that my daughter can get married at the by April. And that's what's going to call the tune. See, this is the ultimate end for government and where it comes up incredibly short. We can talk about equity. We can talk about the dynamics of equity and things like that. It's illegal to discriminate based on race when it comes to terms of getting federal aid. But I'm going to grant them every bit of the argument for the purposes of a teachable moment for the progressive leftists. Okay. I'm going to grant that the equity is going to happen. The equity has to happen. The equity is happening. The money is going out there to the most needy communities, and that's what's going to happen, except for when you get into a market scenario. You see, little Bobby can go and try to buy one share of stock for Google. Big Bobby, his daddy, can go and purchase 40,000 shares of Google stock. Who's going to get the priority when it comes to buying stock? Who's going to get the priority when it comes to dealing with getting stuff fixed? The people with the money. And I ain't talking Biden bucks. I'm talking Hunter Biden money. I'm talking grafted, whatever you got to do to show up with a suitcase full of $3 million. That's who's going to get the priority first. Don't let these people in Washington, D.C. try to hornswoggle you, because that's what they're trying to do. You got to understand the dynamics of an economy. 704-570-1110, News Talk 1110, 993 WBT. Put that on the chart. That's the first mention of hornswoggling on my program in almost 3 years. Boomer Von Cannon. Now listen, coming up in a couple of hours, I'm going to reference Vittles.
Vittles.
So that'll be it, man.
Oh, man.
What, hornswoggling and Vittles.
You have been here too long, haven't you?
I don't know about that.
It does sound good, man.
What do we got on the road?
While in Rome.
News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. 704-570-1110. It's important to understand, you know, context when you get into these political spats, these fights, these disagreements, what have you. It's important to know, you know, kind of what you're up against, what the motivation is of the folks that are trying to, you know, make you get what they call razzle-dazzled, right? There are interesting new poll numbers that have come out, and I think it's worth taking a look at some of this stuff. It's actually quite fascinating. Democrats are now facing fresh problems in two pivotal Senate battlegrounds in which their nominees are facing attacks for being too progressive. Now, imagine back to 2020 when you had the most radical rhetoric coming out, defund the police, Open the jails. Don't do anything that approximates security and policing and that sort of stuff in this country. And people were really worried. Our cities were burning during the summer of love running up into the election of Biden. And so when you think back to those days and you see how quickly this pivot has occurred, it is quite something. All it took was an explosion of crime in American cities. Did you see over the weekend the epidemic of carjackings that took place in and around metropolitan areas? This is a huge issue. Crime is I believe talking about crime with people whose politics you may be uncertain about is the new MAGA hat. Here's what I mean by that. Remember, for a while, people would wear the MAGA hats, and then the MAGA hats became pointed to as racist and divisive and vicious and nasty and all that. So what ended up happening was you ended up getting people to stop wearing the MAGA hats, but in reality, they still wanted a secure border, a strong economy, a strong line with the Chinese. They still wanted criminals punished for criminal behavior, all that sort of stuff. So all you really succeeded in doing was getting the people who wore MAGA hats to just stop wearing the MAGA hats, but they still continued with their political beliefs. Well, that's how it is now. When you talk about crime, crime has become a catch-all phrase and term. So you look at GOP Senator Ron Johnson in Wisconsin. This was a guy who was specifically vilified and was vilified nonstop for 2 years. He's a lackey for Trump. He's a MAGA guy. He's ultra MAGA. He's terrible. He's the worst human being ever, next to Rick Scott. And this is what you've seen. Well, Ron Johnson, Mr. Not Popular in his state, has now pulled ahead of the Democrat Mandela Barnes in the latest wave of public polls. Pennsylvania, Fetterman. His double-digit advantage over Oz has shrunk to a statistical tie. Why does this matter? This is Axios putting this out. Axios is left-wing. I mean, I know there are people here at Charlotte Axios here in town who will say, no, we're right down the middle. Right down the middle for them is left-wing, trust me. So, Republican momentum in both states, acknowledged by strategists on both sides, means the pathway for Republicans to win back the Senate majority is looking clearer. Bear in mind, you've still got 5 weeks out, right? You got 4 or 5 weeks out until we get out there to the polls. Four weeks, really. If they hold Wisconsin and Pennsylvania, along with all the states Trump carried, Republicans would need to unseat one Democratic incumbent. In Wisconsin, Barnes trails Johnson by 5 points in a new poll conducted for AARP by a Biden pollster. Fox News poll released this week showed Johnson ahead by 4 points, 44% of Wisconsin voters believing Barnes and his views are too extreme. He's an open the jails, get rid of bail, turn every city into New York City, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, that is resonating with people, but here's the deal. Johnson is not being endorsed publicly by a lot of people. Remember the shy voters in 2016? We don't know how Hillary lost that election. All the polls indicated that Trump was going to lose by double digits because people don't want to tell the pollsters what they really, really believe, except in this go-round, they might start being a lot more honest with these pollsters, saying, are you kidding me? I do not want criminals walking in the streets. I do not want this guy who's in the White House to take my guns. I do not want these things taught. I don't want transgender therapies offered in schools and all that kind of, all that sort of stuff, right? All that sort of stuff that, you know, in and of themselves, if they were standalone, would be contraindicated for a win. When you put them together and everybody knows these are the issues in this election, border, crime, gender issues, CRT, parental rights, the FBI kicking indoors, the FBI going after people because they go to school board meetings, all that sort of stuff. And then you throw in the politically divisive sort of stuff that's coming out of the White House on any given day, and then cognitive issues. That, ladies and gentlemen, is a recipe for a suicide-flavored Big Gulp. They just went into there and opened every single flavor. And that's what you got to drink. A little something for everybody. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. My reference to suicide was not the act of suicide. It is the slang term for what happens when you mix all the drinks at a 7-Eleven or a Circle K.
Yes, I've heard of that before.
I mean, okay, you can vouch for me. Thank you. Very yes. Hannah Erickson's got the up. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show, 704-570-1110. So I was talking to you about this race that's taking place in Wisconsin, but you've also got a 50-50 race there in Pennsylvania. Fetterman, Oz, this thing's going to go down to the wire. Here's his problem. Fetterman, he's got a lot of issues. But here's his really big issue. He's bragging that when he was part of the Board of Pardons in the state of Pennsylvania, that he voted with law enforcement efforts nearly 90% of the time. This guy was ready to let second-degree murderers go walking out there. He was giving speeches about it. Now all of a sudden he's bailing on that? Oh, by the way, factcheck.org found out that he only voted 69% of the time for law enforcement. So you've got a bunch of these different battles that are forming and taking place around the country in real time. So this is not one election, right? This is not the presidential election divided by the 50 states plus our territories around the country. This is about individual fights being had. You've got Fetterman taking on Oz. You've got Ron Johnson taking on Barnes. You've got right here in North Carolina, Sherry Beasley taking on Ted Budd. And what's the big issue that you see in the advertisements when it comes to Ted Budd versus Beasley? You get soft on crime narratives coming out there. It is the kryptonite of progressives and even some mainstream Democrats. We saw it for years. Go back to Dukakis. Go back to Dukakis in 88, where they had their convention in San Francisco, and they were cheering and applauding, and he was a proud member of the ACLU, and he had his Willie Horton issue that took place, which wasn't even conjured up, by the way, by Republicans out of whole cloth. He had a Willie Horton issue, went out from prison, raped and committed homicide, and ended up going back into the penitentiary. And they took that and used it as a weapon against him in the primaries. Dukakis was the governor of Massachusetts. When you have got the label of soft on crime, it is almost impossible to get rid of it. And the only thing worse than having the label soft on crime is having the label soft on crime in a country right now beset by an enormous amount of crime. What are you not hearing from the Democrats when they campaign? Guns. Beto is the sole guy running around talking about guns, and he's only doing it through the lens of the murders in Uvalde. And he's trying to score points against Greg Abbott, except it's a hard sales pitch to make when you have got rampant crime around this country and people feel like law enforcement, they may not get there. You know, in New Orleans, law enforcement wait times on a 911 call in New Orleans is 2.5 hours on a 911 call. There are nights where there are one or two patrol officers available to answer 911 calls in New Orleans. So all you have to say is, look, we're going to graft that on with Joseph Robinette Biden Jr. We're going to graft that right on to Vice President Harris. We're going to graft this onto Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. And we're going to make you guys wear not a coat of many colors, to borrow a song, but a coat of many victims. So when you're running on that and you're saying, listen, we got to do something about the crime. Do you know who's going to agree with you? Anybody in a major metropolitan area. Now, I'm surprised, honestly, that among the GOP, they're not running around this country running nonstop commercials of carnage in Los Angeles and George Gascon's face. Carnage in Chicago and Kim Fox's face. Carnage in Baltimore and the attorney's face, the state's attorney's face. I mean, all you'd have to do is say, look at the folks who are in charge and look at what they're doing. You are not safer and better off. You need to keep every penny you have in your possession because inflation is eroding everything and Joe Biden is giggling at you. I would find a clip of Joe Biden giggling, and I'd be doing giggling at the end of every political ad. Here's President Joe. Joe, what day is it? turn it right into Beavis or Butthead. Now, there you go. Look at that. You want to scare a child, you play that all afternoon. Right when they ring the doorbell. So the point is, there's strategic ways to fight this fight. And what are you getting? You're getting Biden is in Puerto Rico. Biden on Wednesday is going to go see DeSantis. Watch, Biden will be lucky if he's able to get himself to hug DeSantis. I don't think DeSantis is going to hug Biden. I just don't think that's going to be the case. I don't think you're going to have a Chris Christie, El Gordo, 24-pack of donuts sort of situation there with Barack Obama back in during Superstorm Sandy. I don't think you're going to see the hugging and the kissing that you got from Charlie the Crist down there in Florida when he was the governor as a Republican once upon a time, hugging and kissing the administration folks. I think DeSantis is going to be sitting there going, yeah, you know what? I'm going to give you a reprieve for now, but if the do-re-mi stops flowing to my state, we're going to make you famous. I'll be on every program on the FNC talking about the failings of the DNC, including you at 1600. 704-570-1110, News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. See what we're doing there, Boomer?
Hey, Beef.
Settle down, Beavis. What do we got on the roads out there, Boomer? I am gasoline and matches. I turn everything to ashes. News Talk, 1110, 99.3 WBT, Brett Witterbull Show. Coming up at the top of this next hour at 4:05. Special guest joining us. Do you know who it is? Anybody want to guess who it is? TJ, do you know who it is?
I do know who it is.
You do know who it is? Wait a minute. You know who it is? I don't even know if I know who it is. It's Mr. Harrison from Pawn Stars. He's going to come on. He's going to join us by phone. They're doing some cool stuff here in North Carolina. I'm going to catch up with him. I have a question for him I want to ask, and so you're going to want to hear that starting at 4:05. He'll be joining us for about 10 minutes or so. 704-570-1110 is the number to be a part of the discussion, a part of the conversation. Over the weekend, Brian Kemp, the governor of Georgia, was appearing on the chat shows there, on the cable channel shows, taking a look at the week in review. Asked and pressed about whether or not the Braves would be changing their name.
Well, I thought that was absolutely ridiculous for the White House to do that when they were honoring the Braves World Series. Listen, the Braves respect and honor Native Americans. We've had meetings in the governor's office about that. I think, again, this is just the woke cancel culture and really national values that are being trying to be pushed down to our states and other states around the country, which is why we got to stand up and fight for what our values are in the state of Georgia. And that's why this race is so important.
He's referencing the race between him and Stacey Abrams, also obviously referencing the race between Herschel Walker and of course, Senator Warnock, which is going to be a hard, hard fought back and forth there. But that's what you have going on there in the state of Georgia. And CNN's doing these interviews, and they're saying, ah, you know, what do you think about changing the names of the Braves? And you know, the Biden administration wants to try to reach out and do that sort of stuff. What are we looking at here with the Biden administration? In all seriousness, they seem to want to. I hate to use the word that I used last week, TJ. I hate to use the word that I used on Monday with my concerns last week. Is Joe Biden a tinkerer? I think he's a tinkerer. I think he's attempting to tinker. And I think you got to kind of sometimes think about stuff in a broader way and in a larger concept before you just start putting in suggestions in the box. You get what I'm saying there? You see what I'm saying? Because I'll tell you what, there is enough out there in the world keeping us busy just on a regular day. And so now they're going to try to inject the idea of changing the name of the Braves because they just want to do it. Alabama middle schoolers were asked in a 48-question survey about a number of different topics: sexual orientation, their parents' political beliefs, and extreme body modification. What? That's a story coming out of Huntsville, Alabama. Huntsville parents outraged after a teacher gave out a questionnaire that asked students about their gender identity, their body modification, and their parents' political views. Ashley Barry, a civics teacher at Challenger Middle School in Huntsville, included a 48-question survey with her students' homework assignments. According to a parent who wished to remain anonymous, the questionnaire included questions asking if the students identified as cisgender, transgender, or non-binary. It also included questions asking if students would be willing to undergo, quote, extreme body modification. When are you doing that? Between fourth and fifth period? Is that science class? Is that shop? Are you doing shop in middle school? That'd be pretty cool. Like, that would be a great class in middle school. With a PE? How would we have like the PE thing? If somebody asked me, would you be interested in extreme body modification? Is it going to involve me having to lift weights? Are you going to put those pads on me and then shoot me with the electricity so that all my muscles are getting toned while I nap? I've seen those advertisements. I've seen those advertisements where the things are going voof, 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 voof. Wait, now I sound like Kathy Lee Gifford because that's her va-va-va-voom is back. No. What I'm saying is I'm not going to put these pads on me and put them on my Achilles, put them on my abs, put them on my pecs. Put them on my, where else would you put them? I already said Achilles. That's kind of cavy. Yes. Thighs? Look, remember, Herschel Walker was able to get a lot of toning done, but he was doing that the old-fashioned way. He was doing, 1,000 push-ups a day or whatever he said at some point? Holy cow. That's incredible. I mean, that's unbelievable. So they were asking about that. According to a parent wanted to be remain anonymous, the questionnaire included questions asking if the students identified as cisgender, transgender, or non-binary. It also asked if they'd be willing to undergo extreme body modification. My daughter, when we started to discuss it, I got the feeling that she didn't want to do it, but she felt like she had to because she told me, quote, it's part of our lesson, and I don't want to fail. The parent told 1819 News that they made a public social media post to garner support from other parents because of past experience with sluggish response times from the administrators. I was happy to see that I wasn't the only parent outraged, the parent continued. However, it did make me mad that I was the only parent that knew about the survey. I'm friends with another parent in the classroom, and she told me she had no idea about the survey. Her child did not talk to her about it. She didn't check the iPad to look at the assignments that the kids are. You got to read the assignments your kids are doing. Think about this for a second. What if the teacher said to your kid, and I'm trying to give you absurdity by being absurd, okay? Imagine the teacher says, hey, who wants more money? Go home and counterfeit a $20 bill and then bring it into us and let's see who does the best job counterfeiting a $20 bill. Now, see, you could never do that because if you did that, that'd be like against the law and you might get upset. If your kid came home and said, today we were counterfeiting currency. Tomorrow it's going to be incredible. The kids are looking at this and they're going, what? I don't want to do this. What is it about these teachers? Add that to the pile. 704-570-1110. 704-570-1110. News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. 704-570-1110 is the phone number. Be a part of the conversation. So we dropped a brand new season, beginning with episode one today of Devious Motives. It's going to be the 22 biggest issues leading up to 2022. It's going to be a pretty full look at some of the challenges we are facing as a country, right? Because remember, the issues that we are facing are all the same in terms of the impacts that we face. Inflation is a huge issue. Obviously, you've got an issue with crime in the streets. You've got an issue with the border. I mean, this is all stuff that affects everybody in every way. And that's unfortunate that we have to live in a time where I think the word I would use if I was going to describe the United States, I think at this stage of the game is dingy. It feels like we're in a dingy place. I know Rush used to talk about Dirty Harry Reid out of Nevada and call him Dingy Harry. But the country has become in a lot of ways dingy. It's not been kept up. It hasn't been preserved. It hasn't been repaired where needed. It hasn't been any of those things. And the reality is, with all of this stuff that's going on here, it comes down to an inability to recognize the role of the people that live in this country. We pay the freight. The people in the Congress, the people in the Senate don't pay the freight. We pay the freight. We pay the taxes. We bear the burdens. We are the people who receive the blowback when things don't work right. And that's a big problem. That's a tremendous issue. When you think about this, when you look at the pictures in our cities, when you look at the explosion of homelessness and drug addiction, when you look at all of these different things, and the Republicans and the Democrats are both in Washington, D.C., and can work on any number of issues that they choose to. And sometimes those issues that they want to, what they choose to work on, are different than the priorities that we actually feel in our guts, at our kitchen tables, all those sorts of things. And, you know, the real problem with this is there's generational damage being done to the country. It's generational, meaning it's going to hurt this generation, but it'll be up to future generations to clean it up. And unfortunately, we're in a place where we have limited power in that regard. We are in a spot where we look to our elected officials and we expect that they're going to make certain decisions. And if they're going to make the right decisions that keep us safe. Here's the problem. The problem is there's no way to hold an elected official to account. There's just no way to do it other than at the ballot box. And if they rely on a position where, if they rely on a position where they're just going to ignore your will and ignore what it is that you're trying to achieve in your personal life, and people don't vote them out, it's like having a saboteur renewed for a job knowing that their number one objective is to punch holes in the bottom of the boat, and that's all they're going to do. AOC is one of those people. There are people over on the right that don't function to try to create better policy or things for their country. They pursue policies that, quite frankly, are damaging to the country, and they do it with absolutely no regard for the average person. And that's unfortunate, because you have an extremely limited ability to affect change in Washington and in your state capital. You know, you get elections every 2, 4, 6 years, right? Depending on what's going on here. But at the same time, they have an unlimited freedom to destroy your country. So when you see mobs of criminals taking down convenience stores, robbing jewelry stores, carjacking people, beating people in the street. We just watched a paramedic stabbed to death on the streets of New York City, and nobody cared. Nobody cared. When you put up with that, and you permit that, and you allow that to happen, it's a disaster. And when you have politicians empowered to prevent that, and they don't do it, they've declared open season on you as a voter. They've declared open season on your rights and your freedoms. It's absurd. And it's wrong. It's fundamentally wrong. Because if a guy comes climbing through your window, you have two options. You can pull out a firearm and handle business yourself, or you can call the cops. But if the cops don't show up and you've been disarmed by politicians like crazy Lori Lightfoot, what's the recompense? How do you get to fix that problem? You can't. So the criminals are brave and braggadocious, and they continue to commit crimes, and people, not criminals, people are trapped in their homes as hostages. 704-570-1110 is the phone number to be a part of the conversation. I expected Rick Harrison coming by. He did not come by. I'm going to attempt to effort to find him. And if we don't, well, c'est la vie. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. Boomer Von Cannon, how those roll? News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. Okay, I'm going to take a stand here. By the way, apparently Rick Harrison was tied up with something. They're doing production. We're going to try to effort him on some other day as we get closer to these events. I just saw a headline on CNN that I can't believe my eyes. Can one of you guys verify if this is an accurate number? Joe Biden has promised aid to Puerto Rico. Now, they got nuked in this hurricane, I think, right? In Fiona? They got hammered in Fiona. Guess the number. Guess the dollars he's pledging over to Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico, which is part of the United States of America. Guess how much he's offering Puerto Rico as a result of this terrible Fiona storm that came in there. CNN reported $60 million. Am I wrong in saying that that's like a little light? $60 million? What's his contract? Not Matt Rhule. It's probably close to that, though. What's the contract for the guy that's suspended for the whole season that just went to Cleveland? Deshaun Watson, what is his contract value? It's like $100 million or something, right? How does he not get roasted on $60 million?
Deshaun Watson's contract, $230 million.
Look at that. What? He did. Speaking in Ponce, Puerto Rico this afternoon, pledging future support for the island, Biden announced $60 million in federal funding that will come from the bipartisan infrastructure bill that passed last year. Oh my gosh. That is like, that feels racist. From Uncle Sam, you're sending billions of dollars and billions of dollars to Ukraine every 20 minutes. Every 20 minutes. And I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, this is nuts. Chad, welcome to the program. What's on your mind, Chad?
Hey, buddy.
Hello.
Hey, man. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, it was kind of a surprise here. But you're on point because, okay, so first of all, like, a lot of Americans feel like our votes didn't count. So how can we make a difference other than going to school board meetings and, you know, county commission meetings and doing that? But there's a large percentage of America that feels like my vote doesn't count, and that's how I feel. Where
do you vote?
Where did I vote? Yeah. I live in Huntersville.
Okay, so you vote in North Carolina.
Absolutely, Bradley Middle School.
And your vote didn't count?
It wasn't. Well, sure. It wasn't acknowledged until the results were there, but more people voted this last year than were even accounted for in the state of North Carolina. So the whole voter fraud thing still is in the back of my mind. And it's like, I want to make a difference, but the whole voter fraud thing that you can't talk about is still there in the back of my mind. Does my vote actually count? I don't know. I'm still going to vote.
Mm-hmm. Actually, in North Carolina is actually one of the better states in terms of voting integrity. There have been strong efforts made because we've had Christian Adams on with us from Public Interest Legal Foundation. They have been at the forefront of filing lawsuits and telling, demanding that names are taken off the voter rolls, demanding that you're supposed to get rid of illegal voters that are not supposed to be on the rolls, things like that. So there has been a substantial effort to maintain voter integrity here. In fact, if I recall correctly, I think Trump won North Carolina, didn't he, in this last election? He did.
Sure. He won, but the governor didn't. One last question for you.
The governor got reelected, but Trump won North Carolina.
He's a Democrat.
Yeah, but he got. But Trump. Do you think it's impossible to split a ticket?
No, I don't think that.
I mean, the guy who ran for governor in North Carolina didn't exactly light fires. I mean, I don't know. I mean, what can you do other than going to school board meetings? Here's what you can do, Chad. You could run for office. Find an office you want to run for. Figure out your platform, what it is you want to talk about. That's what you can do, because if you're waiting for the cavalry to ride in and to save you, that's going to be a long wait. The cavalry ain't coming. We are the cavalry. We, every one of us, every citizen in this republic is the cavalry. The cavalry's not riding in from the west or the east, the north or the south, the southeast or the northeast, the east-west or the southwest. Did I just say east-west? The southeast-west. Is that what I said? John, welcome to the show. Save me, John.
Hi, Brent.
What's going on over there?
Hey, not much. I was just listening to your show. It's a good show.
Thank you.
I'm to the point that I'm just laughing at a lot of these politicians anymore. And I believe it was you I heard mentioned last week. I personally think it's time for a convention of states.
Oh, heck yeah. Heck
That's
yeah.
My belief. And I just wish so many more would just read this Constitution, see what they're fixing to lose.
Yep.
But then again, see what they can do about this. I mean, we do have an option.
You do. You have tons of options. Have you ever?
A lot of people ain't doing it, though.
Well, hold on a second. Have you ever run for office?
No, sir, I have not.
Would you run for office?
Would I?
Yeah. I'm not talking like Senate, Congress. I'm talking, would you go run for the school board? Would you go run for the water board?
At one time I would have, yeah.
Oh, no. You wouldn't do it now? You got wisdom. You're necessary.
Well,
you get these,
I don't know about that.
Yeah, you get these little 27-year-old pipsqueaks coming out of elite colleges, never really had a job, work as professional organizers for, you know, the Great Reset and what have you. What we need is to get people at the experienced end of the spectrum to start getting into these offices, because we've got the sense and sensibility that these little whippersnappers don't understand. They think money comes from the ATM machine.
Yes, they do.
And this is a problem. I'm with you. Look, 100% I'm with you on COS, my friend. Convention of States, that's how we have to fix it. People should look it up. If you're in the sound of my voice, look up the Convention of States. He is a great American. He's actually a great American for calling about that. Chad was a great American because these guys are concerned about the country. That's what you should be concerned about. When you hear country, when you're the United States, you hear country, that means you, Y-O-U, that means us, U.S. That's all that means. We're a landmass. We got hundreds of millions of people. But at the end of the day, we are the country. News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Ann Erickson is the person with the update. News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. It is the Brett Winterble Show. Happy to welcome to the program Rick Harrison. You know him from his tremendous, tremendous work with the History Channel's Pawn Stars. They're going to be hitting the road to visit some of America's most exciting places in search of historical finds, impressive collectible objects, in the new 8-part series Pawn Stars Do America, premiering November 9th. Each 2-hour episode follows Rick Harrison, Corey Harrison, and Chumley as they step out of the world-famous gold and silver pawn shop in Las Vegas to connect with fans in 8 different cities and acquire some of the most remarkable items imaginable. He's busily producing all of this, and he joins us now very quickly. Thanks so much for the time, Rick.
No problem.
You know, so you're filming an episode of Pawn Stars Do America in Winston-Salem between October 14th and 16th, and you're going to be looking for people in the area to bring their unique and prized items, as well as have a chance to be featured on the show. People can go to standingroomonly.tv/pawnstars to be a part of that. What have you been surprised with so far? I know you've got deep family ties to North Carolina.
Oh, no, I was actually born in Lexington.
Outstanding.
My dad was raised there. My mom's from Kernersville. So, I used to be there all the time when I was a kid. We moved when I was like 2 years old because my dad was in the Navy.
Sure.
But no, I used to go back there and spend the summers with my grandma and grandpa all the time.
As you look at what's available out there, I mean, I know it's not, you can't really know all the stuff that's available out there yet, but we're post-COVID, people are getting back to normal. How is the business going for you?
No, my business is in Vegas is doing great. It's not quite pre-COVID numbers, but it's getting close. So everything's getting back to normal, and thank goodness, and like everything's just humming along normally, and hopefully it stays that way for a while.
Let me ask you a question. We're in a political season right now. Do you have a lot of stuff that comes in that's connected to politicians or campaign memorabilia and things like that?
It really doesn't come in during like political season. It just pops up every once in a while. You never, like I said at the show, you never know what's going to walk through the door. And then, ever since I got the TV show, I mean, originally we thought we were never going to get enough stuff for the show, but then we got the show. So people line up with stuff every day. But it's really neat going on the road because, I mean, I get all this stuff that would never show up in Vegas.
Is there a lot more stuff out there on the road in you expect in the Carolinas than in other parts of the country, or is it just it's going to depend?
I mean, one thing is I live in Vegas, so I mean it's a newer city.
Yes,
and when people move out there, they usually don't bring all their really old antiques. So that's what I'm really excited about going like on the East Coast, because there's so much more history out there. There's so much more older items, so you get to see a lot of stuff.
Great stuff. Well, listen, we're going to be excited to check it out. Pawn Stars filming this episode, Pawn Stars Do America, Winston-Salem, October 14th to the 16th. Again, folks can sign up, check it out, standingroomonly.tv/Pawn Stars, standingroomonly.tv/Pawn Stars. Wish you all the best in your travels, and I appreciate you making time for us today.
All right, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you got it. That's Rick Harrison, 704-570-1110, News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. Let me take this call. Stan is up next. Stan, welcome to the program.
Hey, Brett. I will listen to the rest of your show on Friday. And
yes.
I heard you talking about the article, the Convention of States.
Yeah.
And I have one amendment that I want to propose to you that I think that you would probably love, and that is this. Is that the federal government has no authority to deal with state, with individuals in the states. That what you have is, if the federal government has a criminal charge against someone, then what they do is they go to the state, and the state actually represents their citizens. And then what happens is, it's kind of like the state has to extradite the person to be charged at the federal level, thus ensuring constitutional rights haven't been violated. And the same would go true with money. In essence, when you wanted to tax, like to say with income taxes, what you would do is you couldn't allow the federal government to individually tax. What you would do is you would break it down into how much each state owes and let the state do it. Because what happens in that instance, if you have the federal government doing it by individuals, they're able to thwart the electoral process by benefiting individuals and companies in certain states at the expense of others, and it lets the red states subsidize the blue states, keeping blue states' economies viable.
Well, here's the problem. You have the currency of the United States, the Federal Reserve notes of the United
right.
States being used as currency in the country. You've got issues where the federal government does have authority, especially with interstate issues, interstate criminality taking place, terrorism, Department of Homeland Security. You got border issues at the southern and the northern border of the United States. You're never going to get the feds to tie their hands from intervening in the states. They're not going to come in and say that this is functioning like a territory or a sovereign state where you have to go to a local magistrate to get a warrant to extradite or to arrest somebody. The feds are going to go to federal court for that sort of stuff. So I think that would be a very, very difficult road to try to climb. What I would look to try to do first, Stan, would be to say we have to have a balanced budget amendment that says you cannot spend more than you have taken in, and we are need to do something about the current tax system, such as it is. You know, there's a story I came across earlier today that says that the cartels are making so much money by engaging in slavery in the United States that it's almost more profitable at this point than dope. That is incredible when you think about this. We have modern day slavery, meaning the selling and transportation of human beings against their will, in many cases, happening in our country right now. Now, I don't know. I would think you could probably come up with a pretty creative solution for that. I would think you could probably pass a piece of legislation and attach for slavery a death penalty, a federal death penalty for selling and transporting human beings. What did we fight? What did we fight the wars for? What did the Brits fight their wars for? To try to end the slave trade And now it's coming because it's coming from Mexico over a land bridge, basically. We're supposed to accept that as a reality? I believe me, I'm a Christian and I try to practice it very effectively, and I come up short every single day. And I understand that our default position must be in favor of life, where we need to say, listen, while you're alive, you can still repent for the sins you've committed. You can still show remorse for the crimes you've committed and all that sort of stuff. But the selling of human beings, what? In 2022, when we got a White House talking about equity and we have human beings being sold $20 billion, $20 billion. They have a pricing schedule for these humans. You want to make a point of it? That ought to be something we make a point of. That ought to be something that we make a point of. And there hadn't been one stinking hearing in Washington, D.C. on the issue of modern human slavery. Not one. Schiff doesn't do it. Fang Fang doesn't do it. Schumer doesn't do it. Pelosi was encouraging it last week when she said, go pick the crops. What is she talking about? She's going back to the old roots, to her roots, back in Andy Jackson's days. John C. Calhoun's days. That's where Nancy Pelosi's traveling. She's going back to the bad old days of servitude. It's disgusting that we allow this to happen in our country. And yet, everybody in Washington's cool with it because we got to talk to Maggie Haberman. Maggie Haberman's talking to Jake Tapper right now she, with her smart glasses. Bookshare's graphic 2017 conversation between Trump and the British Prime Minister Theresa May. Hey, Mags, why don't you go out there and take a look at the people being trafficked, the children being sold and killed? Mags, you got the power of the NYT behind you. Why don't you go and investigate that, Mags? You know why? It's easier to write books about people in Washington and not have to go and see the creation of government at the border, what government has created, a market in humanity with a price for each of those people. And if you don't pay it, as you heard last week with me in D.C., those people have unspeakable acts of violence done to them. Women, children, men, and boys. But we can't be bothered. Go pick the crops.
704-570-1110, News Talk 1110, 993 WBT. Boomer, how the road? News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. So over the last couple of weeks, I've been watching some of the programming that's offered up over at Discovery Plus. And this is not an ad for Discovery Plus, but you'll understand why in a second. So I've been watching the programming with Bobby Flay and Giada when they went on one of their tours over to Italy, predominantly Rome and the environs around there, including Tuscany. And then I got into the Stanley Tucci series, which is fantastic, actually. And it was produced by CNN, of all things. And I was watching that over the weekend, and I watched an amazing visit in Milan. And it got me thinking about the trip that we're going to be taking coming up in June. And it's going to be an incredible opportunity for all of us to explore and to live life and to understand the amazing history and the art, the religiosity, the culture, the food, the wine, all of it. And we're going to get to spend time together and we're going to get to know each other. And we've got limited seats for this trip. And I'm really looking forward to get to spend time with you, talk with you about my life, my career, my experiences, and to speak with you about yours as well. Well, we're going to be living La Dolce Vita, the sweet life, in Italy next June. And the next seven couples who sign up will get $500 per couple off their trip. That's right. The next seven couples will get $500 off their trip. If you've been thinking about signing up, if you've always wanted to see Italy, I have, and I've never had the opportunity. I've had the opportunity, but I never took it, and that's my great regret, so I want to go and see it. If you want to live the sweet life, now's the time to reserve your spot. Call Megan and Deanna. Give them a call, 800-383-3131, 800-383-3131. That's 800-383-3131, or visit cruise-tour.com, cruise-tour.com. Come. I hope to see you all on this trip. It's going to be a blast. One of the issues we're looking at, obviously, is the aftermath of Hurricane Ian and the damage it caused there in South Florida, especially Southwest Florida. Stuart Varney was making appearances over the weekend, talking about some of the challenges when it comes to rebuilding. Remember, government's best opportunity to prevent you from building the house you want, keeping the house you want, rebuilding the house you want, is to create regulations that prevent you from building your home where you want to build it. And they can hit you right in the pocket when it comes to insurance. This is cut number 98, Stuart Varney on Fox, talking about the big insurance hit down in South Florida.
It's all about flood insurance. If Floridians that have federal flood insurance, therefore they may not even qualify.
That's what makes this disaster even worse. It's all about flood insurance. If you look at the southwest coastline of Florida, way under half of those properties have flood insurance. Way under half, and they've been decimated. Go inland towards Orlando, and it's below 2% that have flood insurance. I mean, these people are now facing financial disaster. And as you point out, those nine counties that have been declared disaster areas, that pays for minor damage clearance, minor cleanup. It does not pay for flood insurance.
Cut 99.
There's going to be money distributed, but it will take a very long time to get Florida booming again. In fact, it'll take years. You've got all these people who are facing financial ruin. I don't think that's too strong a word. Mm-hmm. If you're flooded and you've got no flood insurance, what do? You've just lost the equity in your house for sure. And how do you rebuild? No bank will offer a loan on a property unless that property has flood insurance. And flood insurance is going to be extremely expensive and very hard to find. So,
and here comes Roy Cooper talking yesterday on Meet the Press about how it is you can control these sorts of things.
North Carolina has had a front row seat when it comes to the effects of climate change. And we are making sure that we've become a clean energy safe haven, and that we are paying attention to resiliency. I've done a climate risk assessment and resiliency plan. You have to make tough decisions when you rebuild.
You have to make tough decisions when you rebuild. When they don't want you driving a car, they just outlaw your car and tell you to drive electric. When they don't want you living by the beach, they'll just wipe you out and won't let you rebuild. 704-570-1110, News Talk 1110-993-WBT. So you got to understand, ladies and gentlemen, by the way, my name's Brett Witterville, and I'll be with you until 6 o'clock, 704-570-1110. It is the Brett Witterville Show. You have to understand that disasters, crises, are opportunities for politicians to come in and sort of make believe like they care about you. They'll do the bare minimum and then tell you how big of a thing that they did. I mean, it's incredible. So I want you to explain, I want you to understand what the next go is going to be. There's a Great Reset. It's been happening. We know about the Great Reset, but there's also a Great Reset here in the United States. And that Great Reset was really formulated in 2016. That's where you saw the movement to try to stop Trump. And then you had Strzok and Page, the lovers intertwined with McCabe and of course, Brennan and the whole rotten lot of them to try to overthrow the government that was elected in 2016. I mean, I think it's been established that you had sort of a
government-led insurrection against the prior administration. Then you have an insurrection, or whatever you want to call it, on January the 6th. And there's a decision at that point that says, listen, we have got to take these crazy Americans and manage them for their own good. So they want to take your guns. They want to make you take the shot or lose your job. They want to do all this stuff. I mean, if you go back to the early days of the Biden administration, it's a very punitive administration. Maybe one of the most punitive administrations in American history. It's also created a great deal of dinginess in our country. We have become a very dingy country, meaning stuff's not kept up well. We can't recruit people for the military. The border is wide open. There is no policing in the streets. That all happened really under one administration, and we're only a year and a half, barely 2 years, into the immaculation of one Joseph Robinette Biden, who's about to be 80 years of age. He's not a bottle of wine or a bottle of scotch. He's not going to improve with age. So they need to figure out a way to control you. I played these clips in the last segment of that last hour about the ideas of, well, we're not going to give you flood insurance, so you're not going to be able to recoup your loss on your house that you lost in a hurricane. You didn't have the insurance. Too bad. How sad. We believe in climate change. We are pagans. We are trying to assuage the pain of the earth god. All that sort of ideology that's out there, right? Whether it's Bill Gates, Tony the Fauci, or people inside of government. So what are they going to do? They're going to cut off your avenue to private property, but not all private property. See, what they're going to do is this. They're going to say, we won't let you register your vehicle, so you have to buy an electric vehicle. Or you can ride in the bus or the train. We believe climate change is so costly. Look at what happened to Fort Myers. Look at what happened to Coral Gables. Look at what happened all the way down in South Florida. We can't rebuild these houses. We just can't afford it. So we're going to zone swaths of land at the federal level as no-go zones for you to build a house. And we're not going to let you get federal flood insurance. So if you're a billionaire, trillionaire, you can just build it yourself and then rebuild it yourself and self-insure. But the average bear is not going to have that kind of money available to them. So what they're going to do is they're going to dictate what you can eat. They're going to dictate what you can grow. They're going to dictate where you can live. They're going to dictate what school you can go to. They're going to dictate what college you can go to. They're going to dictate where you can build your house. They're going to dictate how it is you order your life, because that's what government does. So they're not going to let these people rebuild down in Southwest Florida. DeSantis may or may not go along with it. I don't know. He's his own guy. They're going to look at these places and say, yes, just too dangerous, too risky, and we can't keep tapping the treasury to rebuild when these houses get wiped out in storms. And that's essentially what you got from Governor Roy Cooper. Give me cut number one more time here. This is Governor Roy Cooper yesterday talking to Chuck Todd on Meet the Press. And he describes, listen, hey, we've come up with a whole plan right here, folks. We got a whole plan on how we're going to manage your land and your property. We're not going to let you rebuild. Cut one.
North Carolina has had a front row seat when it comes to the effects of climate change. And we are making sure that we've become a clean energy safe haven, and that we are paying attention to resiliency. I've done a climate risk assessment and resiliency plan. You have to make tough decisions when you rebuild.
Now, I love this because he's got this down to a science, quite honestly. And it's this. I've done a climate resilience plan right here. My people have put this plan together so that you can refer to it by official people who looked at it. It's not me telling you you can't rebuild. Sorry, it ain't me. It's the plan we put together. We talked to some people who now know what the deal is, and the deal is you can't build there. And we got Sherry Beasley up on the court. If she doesn't end up becoming a senator, she'll be the person to strike down all your lawsuits, do all this kind of stuff. They're going to control you at the best point of control. The best point of control is regulation and money. If you're a billionaire,
You're a professional athlete. You're a hedge funder. Man, you can go buy whatever you want, self-insure a piece of property, and that's it. This guy's running for president. I got news for you. Okay? You got Kamala Harris running. You got Gavin Newsom running. You got Joe Biden running. Hillary Clinton is running. And I'll bet you dollars to your non-existent donuts because of the inflation that Roy Cooper is going to run, and he's going to try to come off as Governor Reasonable. Well, I'm just reasonable. We just don't want to have all this flooding and all this kind of stuff that's going on. I mean, my gosh, have you ever heard a guy talk better with Demowoke like him? He is like the king of Demowoke talk. You got people getting shot in the streets of Charlotte. You got people going to failing schools. We lost 8,000 kids right here. Nobody cares to go take a look, try to figure out where these kids go. But Roy Cooper's got a climate plan. And nothing sells like a climate plan when you're looking at disaster happening down in South Florida. Now, compare and contrast little Governor Roy Cooper to the governor across the way, to the governor down in South Carolina. My God, is McMaster an amazing governor. He's like, we're opening it up right now. The rain is still falling and the floods are still happening. Come on down to Charleston and get yourself some hush puppies with butter on them. It's going to be amazing. We've been flooded for 472 years since North Carolina was nothing special. That's what we've done down in South Carolina. Fireworks, guns, and hush puppies. That man could be president. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT.
Get some salted peanuts.
Boomer, I understand I got to put butter on the hush puppies.
Oh, yes, do.
News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT, Brett Witterbull Show. This is the time in the day, in the afternoon, where we cross the streams AM and PM, 8:35 in the morning, and then, of course, 5:20 in the afternoon with Bo Thompson today from Good Morning BT. Hello, Bo Thompson. How are you?
The bookends of your broadcast day.
It really is. It really is the bookends of the broadcast day. I got to point something out here that's I'm kind of sandbagging you, but I'm going to just share this with you. President Biden went to Puerto Rico this afternoon, and he spoke in Ponce, Puerto Rico, pledging future support for the island as it still deals with the impact of Hurricane Fiona. So I guess that was the storm just before, a couple before Ian.
Right.
Biden announced $60 million in federal funding that will come from the bipartisan infrastructure bill that passed last year. That, to me, feels a little light in the number there. $60 million, but especially when we're sending bullets and guns and weapons to Ukraine by the billion, he's given $60 million to Puerto Rico.
Yeah, it does seem on the light end, and I wonder what the number will be all told as far as aid that goes to Florida, for example, this past weekend.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be an interesting comparison. But yeah, when you say that, I had not heard that number, but that does seem a little light.
So here's a question I have for you about the Florida thing, because I think you all were kind of talking about it a little bit with the storms and everything that's occurred in the wake of those storms. Do you think, because I'm about politics by and large with stuff like this, do you think there's going to be a DeSantis-Biden hug when he goes to visit on Wednesday?
Not a hug.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're going to go Beth Troutman on us, but I think there will be a handshake. There'll be a show of, because, again, this goes back to what you and I were talking about the other day. I think that this is an unusual situation for DeSantis, because obviously DeSantis is possibly, although I don't think it's going to be against Biden, I think it's going to be against another Democrat, but suppose it is Biden. Suppose Biden does end up running, and for the sake of this conversation, it could possibly be DeSantis
right.
And Biden. Then I do think that there's, you're sort of formulating the two of them as competitors, but I also think that there's an opportunity and probably a wish or a desire from DeSantis to look presidential. So on one hand, I think his handlers probably believe, and he does too, that it's important to be seen with the president and talking to the president, but I think the body language with the president will be interesting because it's you're a competitor, but you're also someone that I want to look statesmanlike alongside at the same time. Hard to be both at the same time, but I do think that's probably they're probably dueling voices in his head on this one.
So we don't run the risk of a Chris Christie Superstorm Sandy embrace or a Charlie Crist embrace. Like we had after hurricanes down there in Florida. He'll keep it super professional and appropriately formal.
Yeah. Again, handshake. Yes. Uh-huh. Looking like presidential conversation. Yes, but not a jovial sort of bear hug type thing. No.
Does the aftermath of this storm? Looking back on this now, right, because, I mean, we all watched with, our mouths wide open and understanding just a scintilla of the damage done down in Florida. Does this change your way of thinking, broadly speaking, about development at the coast and things like that? I ask that because Roy Cooper talked about this in his interview with Chuck Todd and the fact that you have to have a climate action plan and you've got to make decisions on where things are going to get built and not get built. Does this storm, do you sort of put this on par with Katrina and how fundamentally people had to kind of change the way they did business in New Orleans, rebuilding the dikes and the dams and all that sort of stuff. But do you think this is going to have a lasting impact, especially on the surface in Florida?
It's an interesting question. On one hand, when you're talking about Fort Myers Beach being completely leveled, meaning they're not rebuilding parts of buildings. They're not refurbishing buildings. They're start from scratch. I mean, as Rubio was saying, on one of the shows yesterday, there's nothing there. You're starting from scratch because it's all gone.
Right.
So from that standpoint, perhaps, but I think if it had hit Tampa the way they originally thought it was going to hit, I think because of the size of where the storm came ashore, it being Fort Myers and not Tampa, because when you talk about Katrina, you're talking about New Orleans.
Right.
I think some of these other storms we talked about, it's the size of the city in the metro area that it hit, and of course, all the stories about Lake Pontchartrain and how the drainage system there had to be rethought, and how some low lying areas had to be, some major considerations had to be considered when putting that back together. But because it didn't hit the big metroplex that they originally thought, I think maybe that question, maybe not so much as might have been with the original course.
I think it's going to be very interesting to see how this is all going to play out. I know you all did a very good job earlier today with Jim and Tony and Beth breaking down what's going on here with the Panthers and the challenges that they're facing. Obviously, there are questions about coaching and questions about the way Baker Mayfield is playing. Let me take you back to Tampa, though. Last night, you watched this game. Are you as surprised as I'm very surprised at how quickly Tom Brady appears to have deteriorated in the span of months. This is really surprising to me.
I think there's a lot more going on with Brady than meets the eye at the surface. I think this thing going on with his wife, I think the fact that he retired and then unretired, I think his heart, his head's not totally in it this year.
Wow.
And I don't think we're going to know about it until, they made that whole what was it, like 10 parts or however many parts it was.
Yes.
About Brady. I think there's going to be one written on this season, and we're going to find out in a few years in one of those 30 for 30s or an extra chapter, all that was happening while we didn't know it, when he left for a month during training camp. It seems like things are kind of trickling out, and I feel like we don't know the half of it. That's just my hunch.
I think it's a fair hunch. I think it's a very fair hunch. So are you saying that they may be tanking for Tua? No.
I'm not going to go that far.
You didn't see that one coming, did you, Bo Thompson there? So let's say I'm tuning in tomorrow morning, nice and early, to listen to Good Morning BT. What am I going to hear about?
Well, the latest on all the Baker talk, because the coach talked today, and a lot of the national talking heads, including Stephen A. Smith, taking some major swipes at Baker Mayfield. The latest with Jim Zocchi. And then, of course, another rousing edition in the 7 o'clock hour of the game show that is sweeping the nation. Name That John or Name That Cougar for John Mellencamp tickets.
Whoa!
He's coming to Ovens Auditorium in February, and we have another pair of tickets to give away tomorrow.
This is spicy talk. Name That John, Name That Cougar. This is great. Why don't you name?
We had a guy win tickets today because he named a John. You got to name two correctly. So it may be a John and a John. It may be a John and a Cougar. Of course, Cougar being an older woman who has snagged a younger man. So
I'll take Mellencamp for 200. No. All right.
or Stifler's mom.
Wait, well played, my friend. Well played, Bowtie.
That was a winning answer on Friday, so you see where we are here.
This is outstanding. I'm looking forward to it, my man. I appreciate it and look forward to talking to you and Beth and all the great folks tomorrow morning, my friend.
Yes, sir. Take care.
Take care. That's Bo Thompson. I'm Brett Winterville. Woo! Spicy. News Talk, 1110 at 99.3 WBT. Today is a very important anniversary that many, 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 many people have probably forgotten about. This is October the 3rd, 2022. In 1993, trying to compel influence and support Somalia after their bloody military coup, the United Nations launched United Nations Operation Somalia, UNSCOM 2. The operation's goal was to provide humanitarian assistance to Somalia's population. That was back when warlord Mohamed Farah Aidid and his troops used the opportunity to divert food and relief supplies, kill peacekeepers, incite violence, and commit crimes against humanity. These were the beginning of the actions that culminated in U.S. forces with U.N. endorsement launching an operation to overmatch Somalia National Alliance forces and capture Aidid's senior leaders to avoid some of the problems experienced during this operation and change the army's course. Leaders should create unit environments and development and emotional intelligence as an everyday activity. October 3rd, 1993. This is from the Army Up Press dat.army.mil. October 3rd, 1993, Task Force Ranger headed to the center of Mogadishu, Somalia, to capture rebel leaders using a combination of air and land assets. Air operations used helicopters to insert troops and provide them with fire support as they executed the mission. The ground assault force was responsible for getting to the target location and capturing rebel leaders. Major General William F. Garrison led the operation. Important to mention that before the operation was launched, Garrison requested AC-130 gunships and armor to provide support for ground troops. But because of the rules of engagement, he was denied those assets. This showed a lack of understanding and directly affected U.S. capacity to achieve a position of advantage over the enemy. Another point to consider is that U.S. soldiers were, well, overly confident. They believed SNA forces did not have the weapons or training to fight back. The operation was initially successful. They captured 24 prisoners. However, an unforeseen significant event changed the mission's outcome. An MH-60 designated Super 61 was shot down at 1620 by an RPG and crashed about 300 yards from the target. The fact that the MH-60 helicopters are vulnerable to rocket-propelled grenades and small arms fire was a failure by leadership to assess the operating environment. They note that one RPG changed the course of the entire operation. The ground assault force did not see where the Super 61 crashed, asked for directions to the crash. Garrison provided a P-3 Orion spy plane to direct them, but that came with its own set of obstacles. First, the SNA, the Mogadishu troops, blocked and barricaded most of the streets, and the Orion could not detect them. Secondly, the problem was that the plane gave directions to the pair of forward observers who then relayed the information to the drivers on the ground. Because the information first went through a third party, it created an extra step and caused a real-time delay. 20 minutes after Fadid's
forces shot down the Super 61 when the ground assault force neared the location to secure the crash site. The SNA shot down another MH-61, Super 64, about a half a mile from the ground assault force, which was still fighting its way to Super 61. A large problem the convoy encountered while trying to find a direct route to 64 was recovering the casualties they encountered along the route. After 45 minutes, the convoy was loaded with so many casualties and wounded, it had to turn around and drive back to its base. That debacle, that disaster, that tragedy for American forces occurred 29 years ago today in Somalia. Bob, welcome to the show.
Hey, I wanted to say something. Yes, I own a beachfront house.
Yes, sir.
To anybody who doesn't have flood insurance on a beachfront house is purely stupid.
Yeah.
The dune line is what determines whether you get whether you can rebuild or not.
Mm-hmm.
And that is set by Army Corps of Engineers.
Mm-hmm.
It's more federal than it is state.
Yeah.
The flood insurance actually comes from the federal government. So you have to comply with it. For years, we had flood insurance, but yet, if we had lost 50% of the value of our home, we would have not been able to rebuild.
Yeah.
And we had vacant lots on the island. We buried down and we sold bonds. We convinced people to pay extra taxes.
Mm-hmm.
We got a beach renourishment program. We also got one of our congressmen to help us. There was a federal law that the sand that's pulled out of Wilmington and Moorhead City and Beaufort.
Mm-hmm.
Had to be put on a barge and dumped four miles out in the ocean when we could have bought it.
Yeah.
So now that's been changed. We can now buy that sand. The towns all take turns buying it.
Oh, that's good to know. That's
and it's much cheaper and nicer because the sand we were getting was crummy.
Oh.
And we pulled a lot of sea creatures out at the same time.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah. They were just pumping everything out of there. Shell, you know, clams, everything. But you have to have an active beach renourishment program, and that costs money, and it's up to you.
Good stuff. I appreciate you relaying that, Bob. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. Mark Garrison's got Charlotte at 6 coming up next. What
yes,
do we got,
indeed.
Mark Garrison?
Busy hour ahead. Mecklenburg Sheriff Gary McFadden today telling deputies stand down, writing a lot of minor traffic tickets. The reason? Cut down on the number of blacks getting tickets. It's very interesting. Yeah, the sheriff says he knows it's controversial, but we're going to let you ride along with some Charlotte police. You will hear how cops often use minor traffic stops to catch some serious bad guys, and you'll actually hear it happen. So
wow, so the old taillight is out.
That's
it turns
right.
out you have a machine gun on the front seat you shouldn't have.
That's exactly right.
Oh,
happens a lot here in Charlotte. So Charlotte police are not changing their policy to go along with the sheriff. Okay, Garth Brooks coming back to Charlotte.
Are you excited?
No. It's fine.
It's fine.
But he's not coming to sing this time. He'll pick up a hammer for Habitat for Humanity.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, that is cool.
Is Trisha helping?
That's what I'm told.
All right, that's great.
Unless they divorce between now and then.
Whoa!
Oh. Florida's still cleaning up. Few rays of hope. We'll check in with Evan Brown there and tell us how they've gotten a lot of the power back on. And reaction to the vice president saying that federal help in Florida should really be based on race and equity.
It's equity.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then 6:35, the strange news of the week. That is Anna's Monday thing, and she will have plenty of that.
Looking forward to hearing the strange news.
Yeah. All right, sir.
Mark Garrison, appreciate it, man.
Yep.
Charlotte 6. That's mandatory listening, ladies and gentlemen. Mandatory listening. Let's grab a call from Maria. Hello, Maria. Welcome to the program.
Oh, yes. Hi, Brett, my friend.
How are you?
It's been a while. I just wanted to tell you that I see you on Newsmax, and I look for you on Newsmax with your suits. And you're doing great on the radio. You're so smart.
Oh, I appreciate it. Very kind, Maria. I appreciate
smart.
It. Thank you.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that, you know, I believe in America first.
Yep.
You know, and I just wanted to say that Puerto Rico is a territory of the United States since 1898, and that 29% of the Puerto Rican population in these states
That's right.
have served and are serving in the military.
That's right.
And they have also died for us and
right.
for this country. And I think the Trump administration, they gave Puerto Rico allegedly, I think it was $13 billion. Maybe you can...
So they gave Trump gave $13 billion, but the number that the president today said was $60 million, which it feels
yeah,
very
he
light.
To get $60 million, which is Brett, which is a drop in the bucket.
Of course it is, and it's America. We're talking about America.
Yeah, and the Puerto Rican soldiers, men and women, have died for this country.
Of course,
now, we are giving tens of billions of dollars to Ukraine.
Of course, hundreds of billions almost at this point. It's insane.
And protecting their border.
Right.
And giving them the money.
That's right.
And they're not protecting our borders.
I mean, it's pretty wild. I mean, I don't understand this. See,
you know,
this
it's pretty simple.
What is it? Hit me.
And it's pretty sad that this is not working.
Yep. Well, listen. You got an election coming up here. In a few weeks, you're going to be able to get out there and vote. Are you out there? Are you hanging out with your friends and spreading the word about these issues that need to be looked at and considered? I imagine you're a very persuasive person. I imagine you're probably doing a little bit of that.
Absolutely.
Good.
Because everyone in my family is on board, and everyone that I know is on board.
No.
America first.
That's right. We need you. We need you on board with this fight, my friend. And I appreciate your very kind words.
All right. God bless you and God bless America.
God, amen. And you as well. I mean, she's exactly right on. I mean, we got to be worried about this stuff. That's nice. She watches me on Newsmax, likes my suits, that's pretty good. Look, Maria, she goes by both sometimes. She has been a supporter of this program for a very long time. I would be willing to say, without fear of reprisal or denunciation, she predates Jim. Oh. And I'm talking predating Jim, which sounds like the title of a book. Predating Jim.
Ooh, that's a warning.
It's not a warning. Predating Jim, a guide to appropriate dating. You know, like, doesn't that sound great? Like, would you predate before you dated somebody?
Call in, tell them what happened here.
Would you? I mean, like, you predate. I think here's how what a predate would look like, okay? Tommy, this will be helpful for you. You're a smart young man, and TJ, you're a smart young man. Here's how the predate works. You meet in a parking lot. One car pointing east, one car pointing west, so that you can converse from the safety of your own vehicle with the window down only half, because you want to be safe and secure. That's how you met your girlfriend? Very good. That's really great. That's awesome. And so that would be the predate. And then you'd say, okay, does this person look like they're a person for me? Or does this look like they're a person that's going to be a problem for me? And you have a little checklist, okay? Visibly crazy? No. Disheveled? Sweating when it's 47 degrees outside? No, no. And then what you'll do is you'll go to a very nice, like a drive-thru, like I would say cookout would be good, right? And then you go back to that same parking lot and you eat your meal in your own vehicle. And you just kind of talk, and that's the pre-dating. Then if it works, then you move on to something much more public. Food shopping on Saturday. You're buying your stuff, they're buying their stuff, but you want to see what they're buying. If they're purchasing a lot of products that may be suspicious, why did they buy all those batteries? What's with the duct tape? Who needs that much soy sauce? Okay, let's see what's going on here. You then have the ability to escape. Thank you to Tommy and TJ, Boomer and Anna, Mark Garrison, Bo Thompson, each and every one of you. I am Brett Witterbull. Enjoy the evening. Charlotte at 6 is next. News Talk 1110 993 WBT.
Make you feel better. The pigs have won tonight. They can all sleep soundly. And everything is all right.